In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my sins unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Stay, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress.
Receive our prayer, thou that sittest at the right hand of God, the Father.
O Lord, who never failest to help and to govern those whom thou dost bring up in thy steadfast fear and love, make us to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, ever world without end. Amen. Confessional reading today from the 28th article, or excuse me, from Article 28 of the Augsburg Confession of Ecclesiastical Power. And Christ says of those who require traditions, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. He rejects such services. Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. If bishops have the right to burden churches with infinite traditions and to ensnare consciences, why does Scripture so often prohibit to make and to listen to traditions? Why does it call them doctrines of devils? Did the Holy Ghost in vain forewarn of these things? So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, reading from verse 6 through verse 9. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Of our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here ends our epistle reading. The gospel reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. Say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his
Lord, these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Here ends our reading of the gospel. Our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
is the epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So far, our text. Please be seated. I had a little trouble choosing my text from the three scripture readings for this Sunday. And the one I picked was the one I liked the least. I was tempted to pick Isaiah, that section, because it put my thoughts together for the funeral of Joe Hall. But Monday morning, when I went for my walk, it dawned on me the reason I didn't like this text is it's the one I need to hear. And so it's the one I wrestled with. He says, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you, because we love the brethren." To John, the word brethren, the brotherhood, is his term for what we might call the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. The Apostle Paul uses the word saints over and over again, in the same way that John talks about the brotherhood. He's setting up here the conflict, the difference between the world and the Holy Christian Church. It's something he learned, of course, beforehand by the word of Christ. Christ, the night he set up the Lord's Supper and was betrayed, told them, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service." John says, "Now we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." Not we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, but we know that we have. The evidence of our having passed from death to life is our love for the brethren. Christ himself put it this way, using some of the same terminology. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And then John gives us the example of that love that indicates we have passed from death to life in Jesus. By this we know what love is, that he laid down his life for us. Christ says, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." And the Apostle Paul writes, "God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Kind of funny, isn't it? When John himself says, we ought to lay down our lives for our friends, we ought to consider their life more valuable than our own. But then he goes to talking about how what we do with this world's goods
as a demonstration and carrying out of the love.
Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And John's not alone, of course. In James's letter, we read a very similar statement. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace and be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What we're dealing with here is the struggle, the old struggle, between our sinful human nature and the new man in us by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans, puts it like this: as many of us as were baptized into Christ, the brotherhood, the saints, if you will, were baptized into his death, so we also should walk in newness of life, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Luther says, what does such baptizing with water signify? He sums it up this way: it signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die, with all sins and evil lusts, and a new man daily come forth and arise to live before him in righteousness and innocence forever. We are, through faith in Christ, considered in God's eyes the saints that Paul calls us, the brothers John talks about. All he's saying here is, be what you are, being a part of the brotherhood, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, is an indication, it's evidence that you have passed from death into life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The power for good works comes by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith, the power to love in deed and in truth is the Holy Spirit's power working in you. So then, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's active through word and sacrament, that we might be what we are in the brotherhood, in the church, the Holy Christian Church, and the communion of saints. By this we know love. He laid down his life for us. That, my friends, is love, in word, in deed, and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Presence.
into the hospital during the night. We don't know much more than that, but let's include Bob in our prayer. O Lord, thou great physician of soul and body, thou dost chasten and thou dost heal. We beseech thee mercifully to regard thy servant. We pray thee spare his life and restore his strength. O thou who didst give thy Son to bear our infirmities and sicknesses, deal compassionately with your servant. Unto thy gracious mercy and protection we commend him, as unto a faithful and merciful God. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these thy guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adore them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity of substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name evermore, praising thee and saying,
and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Thank you.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sake.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Shut. Drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Steadfast in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Steadfast in the one true faith, the life everlasting. Go in peace. Thank you.
will strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith
unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
And eat the body of Christ given for you. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you.
This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins.
Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, and the life everlasting. Keep heart in the Lord's peace.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Next Sunday, we will once again go to the practice of singing during the distribution of the Lord's Supper. I wanted to let you know that before that comes about. Any other announcements that we need to do, deal with today?
Oh, I'll be first then.
You be first.
I thought maybe. Okay. We advised for the July voters meetings for Emmanuel, the first and third, the first Sunday will be our council meeting, the third Sunday will be our voters meeting, versus usually we have it the second, fourth. It's because of our church scheduling, our service scheduling. The pre-survey or the pre-call surveys, we need those back by next Sunday, and I think you can probably bring them to either church for work just as good. You can drop them in either mailbox there. We have mailboxes and a mailbox specifically for that. What else, Tom? Anything else?
There's a nomination form.
Oh, the nomination forms. We have nomination forms in the back. If you know of a pastor that should be on, we'd like to get on the call list. There's a nomination form, and anybody can fill one of those out. And probably drop it right in the survey box. We'll pick them up from there. So, anything else we missed? Okay. Thank you.
I think David Gray has a moment.
Okay, David.
I'd like to let folks know that next Sunday will be the last Sunday that my eldest son, Gordon, will be with us in worship. He is scheduled to enter the Marine Corps the following day, a week from Monday. So if you could remember him in prayer when he's after he leaves, it would be appreciated.
I remember those days.
And because of that, that Zion next Sunday will have a farewell for Gordon at the church with our survey. So she can't be here for the next week.
They're going to throw a party for you, huh? You have to come up with an
exquisite
pun.
You got a week.
Okay.
Can't be much harder than coming up with a sermon. No.
Is there food? Do we need to pray?
Yes.
Let's join in saying the common table prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts of us be blessed.